أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا وحبيبنا حبيب إله العالمين محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. Last night we started to delve into the dua of Abu Hamza, which I said is a massive dua, and we just take some themes of the dua and try to analyze it through those themes. And one theme which is quite apparent throughout the dua is the weak position of the Imam when he is supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always seeing himself as someone who does not deserve anything, is not worthy of anything, and seeing that he has no stance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deserve Allah to listen to him. And of course there are strong reasons as well why Allah should listen to him and should respond. This is what we call ar-raghba and ar-rahba. Raghba is to have hope, to have desire towards something. And rahba is to have fear. And in every dua, this is very important. If you want your du'as to be responded and to be fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these two qualities should always be there, ar-rahba and ar-rahba. Desire and hope and fear and thinking that we do not deserve or we are not worthy to be listened to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Imam alayhi salam says, فَإِنْ عَفَوْتَ فَخَيْرُ رَاحِمٍ وَإِنْ عَذَّبْتَ فَغَيْرُ ظَالِمٍ. If you forgive me, you are the best of the forgivers, you are the best, you are the most merciful. If you punish me, you are the most just. I cannot complain if you punish me because you are just. Now, this raghba and rahba, we'll go through some of these paragraphs of Dua Abu Hamza which bring this up again and again. However, before going through that, let's look at the Quran. Quran also tells us that it is through this raghba and rahba, hope and desire and fearfulness, that your du'as will hit the targets, that your soul will become ready to receive the blessing. And all these are to prepare the soul to receive the blessings. You see, there is no prevention from the above. All the prevention is from inside us. Our soul blocks the blessing to come in. And this rahba and rahba would remove that blockage and we will receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Anbiya is a very beautiful surah. The way Allah actually speaks about the prophets, especially their attitudes towards God. The story of certain prophets are mentioned very briefly in Surah Al-Anbiya, until it comes to the story of Zakariya. Zakariya was a sort of oppressed prophet in Banu Israel. Oppressed in the sense that he was quite alone, lonely among all his family, because the family were all clergymen, but they were arrogant clergymen. And Zakariya was quite afraid of what will happen after him if the faith is left into the hand of these arrogant people who want to preach it to people. What will happen? So he was very, very horrified by imagining that there is no one after him to carry the faith in the right way to the people. So what happened? He was asking for God. In Surah Maryam it says, ذَكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his servant Zakaria. إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. When he called inside himself, no one knew what he is asking for. People thought that he's asking for a son because his wife was barren and she wouldn't give birth to a child, and he was even at that very old age, about 100 years old, he was still longing for having a child, not knowing what was the reason. Of course, he was not at that age someone who was asking for a son or a child or whatever. What he was asking for, this an-nida'ul khafi, something which came from inside, no one was aware of that, was that إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا قال رب إني وحن العظم مني واشتعل الرأس شيبا ولم أكن بدعائك رب شقيا. Look, it's just like Abu Hamza. The way he speaks is like Abu Hamza, isn't it? My Lord, I've gone very old and my head is just like burning fire from whiteness of my hair. And I have been calling you all through and you have been responding to me. I haven't been shaqi in this sense. I haven't been deprived of whatever I've asked you. Now what I want to ask you is something which is almost impossible, but I'm asking you. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا. Give me a wali, someone who can inherit me. Inherit this faith and convey to the people. فَحَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ عَلِي يَعْقُوب. He will inherit me and Ali Yaqub. What? Inherit what? Zakaria didn't have anything to leave as inheritance. That knowledge, that faith, that purity, which he wanted to convey to people. And Allah, of course, responded in the best way. He gave him someone, this wali. This is what he was asking for, not a son, not a child. This wali was, Allah said, okay, now I respond. Ya Zakaria, inna nubashshiruka bighulamin ismuhu Yahya lam naj'al lahu min qablu samiyya. I give you someone the like of whom I have not created before. That is how Allah responds. The like of whom I have not created before. And then the way Allah describes Yahya, John the Baptist, so to speak, the way he describes him in the Quran, which excels all description of all other prophets before him. I haven't created someone like him before. Allah responds. And then, of course, he came and he took the banner of faith from Zakaria rather than those clergy, his cousins, because he says, وَإِنِّي خَفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. I am fearful of my cousins, who are also clergymen. However, if they take the faith in their hand, God knows what will happen to this faith. Okay. Now, in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah makes a mention of this. وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Do not leave me alone. You see, again, it's not the question of a son. Do not leave me alone in my mission. رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Of course, you inherit everything. Then, Allah, this is a very summary, a brief account of here, which comes in Surah Anbiya, in just one sentence. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We responded. This ijaba is what all of us are after in our du'as, isn't it? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَوَحَبْنَا لَهُ يَحْيَا. We gave him Yahya. وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَهُ. And the zawj, the wife, who could not give birth, who was barren right from the beginning, we rectified that for him. And then Allah gives the reason. إِنَّهُمْ كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات. All these prophets that I mentioned before, this is the last prophet Allah mentions actually in Surah Al-Anbiya. All these whom I mentioned before, إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات. They were anticipating each other. They were hasting into doing goods. This is one. ويدعوننا. They were calling us. رغبا ورحبا. With رغبة and with رحبة. With desire and hope and with fear. This is what we want to talk about in Dua Abu Hamza now tonight. يَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَحَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ. They were, well, خاشع is to be fearful or respectful, something between that. A fear which comes out of respect, out of honor, out of greatness. That's خشوع which comes into the heart. So إنهم كانوا يسارعون في الخيرات. One, يدعوننا رغبا ورحبا. They used to call me with these qualities. وكانوا لنا خاشعين. So let's look at Dua Abu Hamza to see how this رغبة and رحبة work together to prepare the soul to receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the first thing is that rahbah. That Imam alayhi salam looks at himself to be in a very weak position. That he is not worthy of being listened to. He does not have anything to oblige God to listen to him. Because you see, God is needless of all of us. Sometimes I think, why should God remember us at all? Why? Who are we in this world? What is our value? What is our worth? We all call him, but why should he at all pay attention? Who are we? Then, when you look at these verses which talks about God, the way he attends to his creation, وَلَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. No leaf falls unless he knows it. He watches it. Then you see, what type of being is this? I mean, despite the smallness, despite the minuteness of all these of us, he pays attention to us without having any need, of course. This idea of needlessness of God is something which sends shiver to one's spine when we think about it, that why should he listen? Why should he pay attention at all? Because he's completely needless. If he leaves us, nothing will happen to him. But just imagine what will happen to us. So here is his sort of attitude. He says, وَقَدْ قَصَدْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِطَلِبَتِي. I have come to you. I have made you my destination with what I want, with my haja, with my talab. وَتَوَجَّهْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِحَاجَتِي. How is my position, that weak position? مِنْ غَيْرَ اسْتِحْقَاقٍ لِاسْتِمَاعِكَ مِنِّي. I'm not worthy that you listen to me. وَلَا اسْتِجَابٍ لِعَفْوَكَ عَنِّي. And there's nothing in me that should cause you to forgive me. There's nothing. I submit. And this is the attitude which removes the blockage. You see, what blocks the blessing is always this arrogance, this thing that I have something to somehow argue with God about. And that blocks the blessing to come. As I said, the blessing has no blockage from the above. Nothing stops it. Everything is inside us. So here it says, there is nothing that I can mention that would be a reason why you should forgive me, why you should listen to me. And also in other places. Now, then, of course, he mentions other things which would be reasons why Allah should listen. But here, he's talking about his own weak position. In other place, he says, أَدْعُوكَ يَا سَيِّدِي بِلِسَانٍ قَدْ أَخْرَسَهُ ذَنْبُهُ. I'm calling you with a tongue which is found dumb because of the enormity of the sins that I have performed, that I have committed. The sins have made me dumbfounded. I cannot say anything. I cannot talk to you the way you deserve. You see, the sins removes the knowledge of God, the love of God from our heart. Then our tongue cannot speak the way God deserves and becomes dumb in its encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm calling you with this type of tongue, a tongue which cannot speak. رب أناجيك بقلب قد أوبقه جرمه. And a heart. What should I say about my heart? A heart which is ruined, which is destroyed by my sins. So, what do I have? I'm coming to you. Even if I was very, very good, I did not deserve anything. It's all your blessing. Now my tongue is dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded because of my sins. My heart is destroyed because of my sins. So what would cause me to come to you? What drives me to come to you? With what sort of attitude should I encounter you? What is my reasons? What are my reasons for coming to you? Okay, what are my reasons? Now, the strong reasons. I said, Imam calls from a weak position, but with strong reasons. What are the strong reasons that he invokes? And these are throughout the dua, you see all these reasons invoked again and again and again. Now, what is my reason? What is my proof? What is the cause that I call you hujjati? What is my hujja? I describe my situation. إذا رأيت مولاي ذنوبي فزعت. When I look at my sins, I am frightened and I have to run away from you. I have to run away from you. But again and again the dua says, now to whom should I run away? Again, I have to run away towards you. هَارِبٌ مِنْكَ إِلَيْكَ. I run away from you to you. There's no other way. There's no other place that I should run away from. Now, حُجَّتِ يَا Allah. What is my proof? What is my hujjah in sitting here in front of you, talking to you? Fi jur'ati ala mas'alatik. My hujjah that I dare to speak to you. I dare to ask things from you. My hujjah is what? Ma'a ityani ma takrah. Of course, I dare to come despite what I have committed that you didn't like. I have done many things that you didn't like. But still I come. Still I come. For what reason? Juduka wa karamuk. Because you are so honorable, so you are so generous. You are so merciful. This is my reason that I'm coming. Nothing that causes from myself, from inside me, that I bring to you. The only thing is from the other side. وَأُدَّتِي فِي شَدَّتِي مَعَ قِلَّةَ حَيَائِي. And I didn't feel ashamed from you when I was committing my sins. However, now I bring another means with me. And that is رَعْفَتُكَ وَرَحْمَتُكَ. Your mercy and your compassion. So, I come to you for what reason? Because you are merciful, because you are compassionate, because you are generous, because you are honorable. These are my proofs, these are my means by which I allow myself to sit here before you. Also, there are other reasons in other place of the dua. I have full confidence, لثقتي بكرمك, in your generosity. وسكوني إلى صدق وعدك. Also, I have full confidence in your promise. What is the promise? Now, these promises come in the Quran. Allah has promised us many things in the Quran. And Imam is actually invoking all these promises. That I have confidence, I have reassurance that your promises are true. So I come relying on those promises. What are those promises? First, in Surah Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَّحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. O people who have wronged yourself, أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ means you have been excessive in wronging yourself. Excessive in wronging yourself. Do not disappoint from mercy of God. Because sometimes sins are very elusive things. You commit a sin, you think that Allah would not listen to you anymore. You say, well, now Allah is not listening to me anyway. He's going to punish me anyway. So you commit more and more and more. And this attitude in itself is the greatest destruction for one's soul. So Allah says, you who have been excessive in wronging yourself. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا إِسْرَاف is excessiveness, isn't it? أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ means you have been excessive in wronging yourself. This is when someone should be disappointed from Allah's mercy, isn't it? That I have been excessive in my wrongdoings, so I even don't dare to look that side that God is. Now, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not be disappointed from mercy of Allah. And actually, one of the greatest sins of Shaitan is that he was disappointed from mercy of God because of what he did. He disobeyed God. That was, of course, one great sin. But the greatest sin that he committed was that he became disappointed and he thought that now God is not going to accept me anymore, so I will do whatever I want. So this is one promise. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. Allah forgives all the sins. Other promises. These few verses in Surah, towards the end of Surah Zumar, are very beautiful if you want to read it. That's وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Come back to your Lord. O you who have turned away from Him, come back before it's late. Come back before it's late. مِنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Then that, if that comes, then there will be no help. So come back soon. What is the other? The other promise, there are many promises. The other promise that Imam invokes in Dua Abu Hamza is that you have said in the Quran, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا, isn't it? وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ, ask God from His blessings, His grace. He is so merciful towards you. And then he says, okay, I want the fulfillment of this promise. And I know, لَيْسَ مِنْ صِفَاتِكَ يَا سَيِّدِي أَنْ تَأْمُرَ بِالسُّؤَالِ وَتَمْنَعَ الْعَطِيَّةِ. It's not your habits that you command us, you ask us to ask you, and then you say, no, I don't give you. You yourself say, come and ask. And then when you come and ask, you say, no, I don't give. Is this your habit? No, it's not your habit. Your habit is when you tell us, ask me something, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, ask from your God's grace, you will give us the grace. When Allah teaches us a dua in the Quran, that means He wants to fulfill it, certainly. There are many duas in the Quran, and these duas are the duas which Allah is actually teaching us so that we know how to ask Him things which are valuable, which are important. رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا وَأَنْتَ خَيُّرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. This is one dua Allah is teaching us in the Quran. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. This is another dua He teaches us in the Quran. All these duas that He teaches us in the Quran is that these are the things which are important and you have to ask God. Now you may say, well, if they are so important, why should we ask God? So He can give it to us. Why should we ask him? Now, this is a sort of two-way interaction. You ask him, dua is the means, is the instrument by which these things, these blessings come. In fact, Allah wants to say that I don't want it to be all my work. I want to be a sort of interaction between me and you. He is honoring us. By commanding us to ask him, he is honoring us. And then he has made it a rule that if you want something, you ask for it. You ask for it. Of course, there are many things that we are unaware of, and he is giving it to us. But certain things he teaches us to ask so that it works more quickly. Because this is the system he has set up. There's always one question coming to my mind when I recite the Quran, is about the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Now after the Nuh boarded the ark and the believers with him, and the ark, of course, the waves, the surfs, they were somehow almost drawing everyone with the ark in the sea. وَهُوَ يَجْتَجْرِ بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ, the waves coming like mountains upon this ark, and everyone was frightened, afraid, what will happen? Then Allah says to Nuh, after things calm down, after the storm calms down, he says, قُلْ رَبِّ أَنزَلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزَلِينَ. Say, my Lord, make us land in a blessed earth, and you are the best who could decide where we should land. Because, of course, there was flood everywhere. They didn't know where are they going to land, in Iraq or in Syria or in Iran or wherever around that area. They didn't know where are they going to land. And where they landed, they started to live there. So he says, make us land in a blessed place. Now, I have always thought, why Allah wants to do this to Nuh, wants to do this to his followers. What he says, ask for it. He is teaching them what to ask for. So he knows that this is going to happen. He knows that this is what they need, and he knows that he has to give this to them. But he says, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. If you want a blessed place, you have to ask for a blessed place. وَقُلْ رَبَّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. Or our Prophet, when he started his mission, of course Allah knows that he should do it with honesty and with full confidence on Allah, and asking for a good eventuality and ending for the mission, which of course it did. But Allah tells our Prophet, ask for it. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَاجْعَلْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. You ask. So Imam here as well mentions that if we do not ask you, it is not your fault, it's our fault. You have opened this door. You have said that you ask for things. If you do not ask, it's our fault. And that's why you see all through the Quran, the prophets were asking people. Some of the mystics, they have come to certain experiences in which they have said, we don't want to ask anything from God. We want to leave ourselves in his hand. Whatever he wants, we don't want anything. At certain points, of course, in a spiritual wayfaring, people come to this position, that we don't want anything. We only want to have communication with God. We only want to experience his presence. We only want whatever he wants. So we don't ask. And this is what Rumi mentions, that there was one firqa of Sufis in his time. He says, I know another firqa of Sufis whose mouth are shut from asking anything from God. But whatever experience is, this is not good. It's not right. Even you see the prophets when they come at that very high level, Allah says, ask things from me. So you have asked, you have commanded us to ask things from you, and I am actually asking that you fulfill that. So these are my proofs, my strong points. And then another hujja that I bring, and this is very important. I seek refuge to my tawheed, to my belief in tawheed. My belief in tawheed and your knowledge that I have no one else but you. And this is when you come to the pinnacle of tawheed, knowing that no one else can attend to anything of your affairs unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَجَعِي إِلَى الْإِيمَانِ بِتَوْحِيدِكَ I seek refuge in my faith in your tawheed, that there is no one in this world that can do anything but you. وَيَقِينِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكَ مِنِّي And my certain knowledge that you know that I have no Rabb but you. So these are my points. These are my points that I want to invoke as my strong points. My weak position, I mentioned, my strong points are this. And then there's another thing. And this is very moving, the way he puts it in the dua. He fits it in the dua. You see, these duas, if we analyze it, the way the sentences are knit together are very beautiful. He says, Sayyidi, my Lord, أَنَا الصَّغِيرُ الَّذِي رَبَّيْتَ I am that small baby that you have raised. I was nothing, you have made me something. So now I do not expect that you leave me. Despite whatever I have done, I am that small baby. Just imagine yourself as being that small baby and who raised you to this position. I'm that small baby that you raised, you cherished. When I came to this world, I didn't know anything. Allahu wallahu akhrajakum min butun ummahatikum la ta'lamuna shay'a. Allah brought you out of the wombs of your mothers, you didn't know anything. He put for you وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ He gave you eyes, ears, and minds, and hearts, so that you understand. You have knowledge. Now I have knowledge. But وَأَنَا الْجَاهِلُ الَّذِي عَلَّمْتَ I am that ignorant who didn't know anything. And you have taught me things. Now this is another type of invocation. Remembering the bounties of God, but in an obliging way, that you have brought me up to this station. Now you want to leave me. I don't believe that you will leave me here at this station. وَأَنَا الْوَذِيءُ الَّذِي رَفَعْتَ I am that mean creature that you have elevated me to this position now, that I know you, I can talk to you, I can come to you. وَأَنَا الْجَائِعُ الَّذِي أَشْبَعْتَ I was the hungry. When we come to this world, the first thing we need is food, isn't it? I am that hungry creature that you created. And then you fed me. I needed water, you satiated me from the water. I needed clothing, you gave me clothing. وَأَنَا الْفَقِيرُ الَّذِي أَغْنَيْتَ I am the poor one, poor in our essence. You see, sometimes we talk about poverty and not having wealth or something like that. But if we think about it, we are poor in our essence. We are absolute need. So I am that absolute needy creature that you have given me. وَالْضَعِيفُ الَّذِي قَوَّيْتَهُ وَالْذَلِيلُ الَّذِي أَعْزَزْتَهُ I am that insignificant being that you have honored me with. It. So he's invoking now another hujja. And this is very interesting. I mean, when you think about it, how Imam resorts to different hujjas, different excuses, that why you should listen to me, why you should listen to me. These are my reasons that you should listen to me. But not from a strong position. Not that I deserve something, I'm worthy of something. Because you are giving all these things to me, and now I hope that you continue. I hope that you listen. I hope that you respond. And there's another, of course, thing that he invokes from the Book of God, which inshallah we leave for tomorrow night. Anyhow, the dua is immensely beautiful. I mean, it takes us to a different level of spirituality when we somehow delve into it deeply and with attention. Inshallah, we hope that in these remaining nights of Ramadan, Allah will give us the blessing and the ni'mah that we could benefit from these treasures which are left for us from Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and from the Prophets, peace be on them. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.